1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be reading just one verse, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And once you've found 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll please stand with me in honor of reading God's word this morning. And I'll read the verse if you'll just follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've already heard and been a part of. Lord, thank you for the reading. Lord, I pray that you would bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray no distractions. Just be a great message here, the preaching. Holy Spirit, fill preaching with the power. Lord, give them the words to say. Bless our service. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the sun rose that morning on the day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, and nothing would stand in his way. Then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and riches, the health of his body, even his children were dead. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, you should end it, just curse God and die. Job rose from the ashes and looked toward the heavens. He brushed back the tears in his eyes. He said, the Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name. When the storm winds blow violently, blessed be the name. When Satan comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Song. Thank you, Brother Tony, for that good song this morning. I want to speak from verse number 58, but I'm going to refer or make reference to the whole chapter here, and particularly verse number 1, so I hope that you'll keep your Bible open. And I'm speaking on the subject, earning the Perseverance Award. Earning the Perseverance Award. Let's pray together as we begin the message today. Our Father, we are grateful for how you put the service together this morning through the music that was chosen beforehand, unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to those who've been singing. Lord, it just fits in with the topic of the message. And I pray that you'll please bless it to our hearts now. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your law. Lord, we must come with an open spirit and an open heart so that you open our eyes and we'll take it in and hopefully benefit from it. And may the seed of your word fall on good ground this morning and bring forth fruit to some degree is my prayer. And thanking you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. During our recent conference, which ended a week ago Friday, we were privileged to have four preachers in the conference who were over 80 years of age. And folks, I don't know if you quite grasp the significance of that. That's huge. Four preachers, over 80 years of age. Brother Jack Thompson led the way at age 90. Preached here on Wednesday night. What's amazing to me is Brother Thompson has more energy than the fellows that are younger than him in their 80s. He might have more energy than some of us in this room this morning. But 90 years of age. And if you weren't here, on the way here, they left Oklahoma City and drove to Lebanon, Missouri to spend the night. They were going to drive the rest of the way. And when they got to Lebanon, they were unloading the car to the motel. And he said, okay, where's my briefcase? And his wife, Annabelle, said, don't you have it? And he said, no. He said, I don't have it. Didn't you get it? And she said, no, I didn't get it. He said, it has my Bible in it, my sermons. And he had left it in Oklahoma City. Now, I think that's over halfway. I think Oklahoma City to Lebanon is over. I don't think I know about Lebanon. There is a case knife outlet there. Amen. If you like case knives, okay, that's where this pocket knife came from. And I got to figure out how Danny Farley gets a knife on an airplane. I got to figure that out somehow. But anyway, that's what he said during the conference. He's figured out a way to get a knife on the airplane. But anyway, listen, 90 years of age, he told his wife, he said, I got to go get my briefcase. And she said, I'm going with you. He said, nope, you're staying right here. Just pray for me. And he drove all the way back to Oklahoma City, probably 6 hours. 6.5 hours, and then drove on. He'd already driven 6.5 hours, drove 6.5 back, and then 6.5 back. 90 years of age. Got his briefcase, and then drove over here the rest of the way. 90 years. Then we had Brother Don Green, 85 years of age. Preached here on Wednesday night, and no sight in this eye. Had the glasses, and he had that lens knocked out, poked his finger through the glasses there. It was great, Don Green. Then we had James Wilkins on Monday night, 82 years of age, sat on a stool here, and preached from the stool. And then we had Brother Bobby Robertson on Tuesday night as well, 82 years of age. Now, we gave them, all four of them, a beautiful glass trophy, and we called it the Perseverance Award. And some of the words from verse number 58 were inscribed on the trophy. Those words where it says, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brother Coral and I, we back and forth. What do we call this? We want to just recognize. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due, and it's right. And what do we call this award? What do we name it? And you know, we wanted something kind of maybe different, but really just boiled down to what it was the Perseverance Award. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a beautiful glass trophy. And if you were here on Tuesday, all four of them here on Tuesday night together, all four of them standing here behind the pulpit. We had a picture made to remember the conference by and send it out to people. So it was a blessed time. So I've been thinking about this verse this week and how it is the last verse in the entire chapter 15 here, almost the last verse in the whole book. And one of the last words that Paul had to say to the church at Corinth, and this rather lengthy letter that he wrote to the people there. And I don't know if you remember, do you recall the content of 1 Corinthians? Paul was dealing with many diverse and difficult problems that were in the church. To put it simply, without naming all of the issues, this was a carnal church. Carnal, that's what he said. Not spiritual, but carnal. And they were quite gifted when it came to spiritual gifts, but they had no spirituality. In fact, Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, talking about the people at Corinth, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I can't speak to you like I would speak to spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, folks, listen very carefully. There is nothing wrong with being a baby Christian. Nothing wrong with that at all if you're a baby Christian. And the scripture implies that baby Christians are carnal. I had to speak to you as carnal, even as unto babes. And when you get saved, you start out as a baby Christian. And there's so much to learn and so much to learn to grow and to practice that will give you a vibrant, mature Christian life. There's nothing wrong with being a baby if you're a baby. There are baby Christians here this morning. And there's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian if you're a baby. But, you know, to be 3 and 4 and 5 years old and still act like a baby would not be normal. And we held the little baby in our arms last Sunday afternoon and, you know, just rejoiced in that little gift of life that God gave to Alan and Abby. And touched her cheeks and her nose and kissed her and held her, you know, and so thrilled, her little fingers and little feet, you know, 6 pounds, 12 ounces. But if in 3 years she's in that same situation, we wouldn't be near as happy. We'd be concerned. Everybody hear the birds this morning? I keep seeing people looking like this. You hear? Let's all hear the birds. Okay, the birds are there. All right, we know they're there. Okay, here we go. All right, so now we're all used to it. All right, the birds are there. So they're flying around in the belfry or something, okay? But anyway, that's what they're doing. Now, here's your right. Paul says, some of you folks at Corinth, you should be grown up. You should be grown up. And he closes out his letter to this carnal, immature bunch of Christians with the exhortation in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So my point is this, there is hope and there is expectation that they will move on. There is hope and there's expectation that they will get over the carnality and grow out of the immaturity and become a vibrant, mature child of God. Now, verse 58 is the closing verse in the chapter. Now, here's what my point is this morning. 58 is the closing verse in the chapter that is given over to the resurrection. This is the resurrection chapter in the Bible. And this chapter, watch this now, covers not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it covers the resurrection of saved people. There are many truths about the resurrection in this chapter. And he says, therefore, because of all these wonderful truths about the resurrection, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I want to break this down this morning and show you what he's talking about here in this chapter, what I believe he's talking about, how it applies to our lives as God's people. Look at that word, first word there, that word, steadfast. The word steadfast means fixed. It means firm. Fixed and firm. Be fixed and firm in your faith as it applies to the gospel. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 1 in this chapter, chapter 15, and verse number 1. He says there in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, watch this, which also ye have received. He said, you Corinthian people have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now watch this. Because Jesus rose, we shall rise as well. John 14:9. Listen to what the Lord said. Quoting, He said to His disciples, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, now listen, because I live, ye shall live also. He's talking about the resurrection. His resurrection. Oh, that glorious morning when the dead and lifeless body of Jesus Christ, that chest began to breathe and ever so slightly rise and fall with the breath of life. And then the eyes opened and the eyelids maybe flitted a little bit. And then in one motion, the feet and the hands and the arms of Jesus began to slide off of that slab of stone on which His body was laying. And He stood up and He folded those grave clothes and He walked out and the stone was rolled away and He walked out alive. And people, because He rose, we shall rise also. We shall be unloosed from the grave if we leave this world by way of death. One of these days, because Christ rose, you and I are rising from the dead. If we leave this world by way of the rapture, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're going up either way. We're coming out of the ground or we're leaving the earth. We're going up, up to our heavenly home, up to where Jesus is, up to the land that is fairer than day. Now, here it is, folks. Here's the bottom line. There is another existence beyond this one. This life is not all there is. There is another life. There is the eternal state. There is the resurrected life. That life. I'm not talking about this life bound here on this earth by the law of gravity. One of these days, that's all going to change. And we're either going to come out of the grave, or we're going to be raptured from the earth, and we're going to that life. We're going to that world. We're going to that country. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, Paul's saying, look, be firm, be fixed, be steadfast in the faith that you received. This gospel, you embraced it. Now listen, friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every person. There is nobody who ever has lived, nobody who ever will live, that is left out of the invitation of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. If you're not saved, you come and you embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. You receive it. You trust in Him. You take the gift of God and you receive it. It is based on His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And Paul says, don't turn loose of that. Hang on to it. Be firm in that. Be fixed in that. Be steadfast in your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because Christ died, He was buried. And because Christ was buried, He rose again. And since Jesus rose, you're going to rise, and there is a life beyond this life. That's why he said in verse number 32, look at it. I told you he was going to refer to some of this. Look at verse number 32. That's why he said. Look at what he said. He said, if after the manner of men, 1 Corinthians 15:32, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Look at what he says. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul said, look, if there is no resurrection, if there's no other existence after this life, if there is no eternal state, what are we doing? Why are we dying to self? Why are we fighting the battle of the good fight of faith? If there's no resurrection, man, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, and that's it. If there's no life after death, who cares how we live now? You see, friend, listen very carefully. A loss of faith in the next life leads to unbridled behavior in this life. This is why we need to hold fast to it. This world is not all there is. This life is not my only existence. I am saved. I got saved by trusting in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He died, He was buried. And because He was buried, He rose again. And because He rose again, I rose again. And I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to live in heaven forever. And I'm going to gain reward, or I'm going to suffer loss. And Paul said, don't turn loose. You be fast. You be fixed in the faith as it applies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if we're not going to be judged, if we're not going to stand before God, if we're not going to suffer any loss of reward, then who cares what we do down here? Who cares? And by the way, that's how some of God's people live. Who cares? You don't have the resurrection in mind. The truth of the next life. Folks, do you understand how temporary this existence is? We talk about Jack Thompson living for 90 years and we go, 90 years? What does 90 years compare to eternity? We have a short window of time to affect eternity. And some of God's people are wasting the window of time that you've been given to affect eternity. Well, when I die and get to heaven, I'm going to get things. No, it's too late. It's too late. We have a very short window of time. And this is what Paul is saying to this crowd. He's saying, man, look, you become carnal and babyish. You should be mature Christians. Now look, you receive the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now hold fast to that. You be steadfast in that. Don't forget that because Jesus died, He was buried. And because He was buried, He's going to rise again. And because He rose again and you're saved, you're going to rise again someday. And someday you're going to go to that place. You know, somebody says, well, you know what? That kind of life sounds real good to me. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at verse number 33. Look at what he says. He says, Paul says, you know what? If there's no next life, then let's just eat and drink, die. Tomorrow we die. It's over. Look at verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This idea of there is no resurrection, it's all ending at the grave, that's evil. That's an evil doctrine. That's false doctrine. That's not true. There is life after death. And to believe that there's not is going to corrupt your behavior on earth. Does that make sense to you all this morning? You know, Mom, the three of us boys, one's in heaven now, but three of us boys growing up, Terry, Tim, and Tom, smartest. Smartest, and, well, I don't know, but anyway. Terry, Tim, and Tom. Now, Mom raised us three boys. Do you know what helped keep us in line? Somewhat. You're not going to keep a boy in line all the time. But do you know what kept us somewhat in line as boys? Son, Daddy's coming home. You wait till your father gets home. Oh, my goodness. Daddy will be here, and Dad was. Boy, hey. You got a dad that comes home every night? Better thank God for that. Better thank God for that. Those tires were pulling that driveway, and ordinarily we were so glad to have Dad home because usually it meant grab a baseball bat and a glove and a ball and let's go hit the ball or shoot the baskets or even go out in the yard and work. You know, it was with Dad. It was good. But if we had misbehaved during the day, it was not good. No, in that first house we lived in, it had those long, really steep steps up to that half-second floor. And wooden, tuk, I'm telling you, the sound of death approaching, amen. Y'all with me? You've been there, right? There's a resonance of recognition in the room this morning. Huh? Now look, folks. This is not the end. I'm going to see my Father. I'm going to stand before my Savior. Because He rose and I'm saved, I'm rising too. Coming out of the grave or going up in the rapture, but I'm going to be there someday. I can't stop it and don't want to. But I only have a window of time. And if I lose that aspect of this thing, if I lose, you say, I have just lost faith. I just don't have faith anymore. And you know what? Because I don't have faith anymore, I just don't care how I live. Well, you know what? Truth of the matter is, we don't lose it. We give it away. And because we give it away, we have lost a part of the restraining influence that was on our behavior and on our life and on our talk and on our... You want to know how to control that internet? You better keep in mind you're going to stand before God. You know how to avoid sneaking around behind your parents' back? Okay, you say, well, if Daddy finds out, I'm in trouble. I'll tell you something. You've got a Heavenly Father who's already taken all that in. I'm telling you, folks, this is what Paul is telling them. You have received the gospel. You trusted in the death and shed blood of Jesus to be saved. And because He died, He was buried. Because He was buried, He rose again. And because He rose again and you're saved, you're rising again. Now, don't forget that there's another life. Well, I just think, you know what? Sounds to me like it'd be kind of fun just to have a life where no accountability for what you did and where you went and how you behaved. And well, think about that all you want to. One bad thing about it? It ain't true. It ain't true. That's like spending your life thinking how good it would be if the world was flat. It's not. And this is not the last life. Okay? We're going to eternity. Are you ready? So this is what he's saying here this morning. He's saying, steadfast. Be steadfast. Do not give up your faith in the fact that you've been saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and let that remind you that you're going to rise again, Brother Caleb, when the devil comes along. Brother Caleb makes a good devil, amen. When he comes along and he tries to take that truth away from me, I'm not letting you have that. This helps control my behavior. This helps me control what I watch. This helps me control how I talk. I'm going to stand before God. You're not taking that from me. That's what he's talking about. Whom resist, 1 Peter 5, whom resist steadfast in the faith. No. No, I'm not turning loose of this, because this reminds me that I'm going to stand before God someday, and that makes me act, behave different. Y'all with me this morning? Hey, grow up a little bit. Grow up a little bit. Now look at the next word, unmovable. Unmovable. All right, verse number 58. We're back there now. Unmovable. Unmovable means exactly what anybody thinks it means. Un, prefix, means what? Not. Movable, root word, move. Not moved. Don't move away from the faith. Now look at verse 1 again. Look at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. And since you've received it, don't turn loose of it. And wherein ye, what's the next word? Stand. So he said, you're standing in the faith of the gospel. You're standing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't be moved away from that standing. You are standing on a solid foundation. You are standing, resting on a solid hope. You are standing on the promises of God about the next life. Do not be moved away from that stand. Take your stand on the promises of God's Word as it applies to the gospel. Because Jesus died and was buried and rose again, I'm going to live again. I'm going to rise to a new and wonderful life in heaven. Don't give that away, and don't move away from that stand. You say, is it possible to move away from that? Sure it is. Because of the pressures of life, when the circumstances of life press on us, when the devils of hell hound us, don't move away from the foundation of the gospel on which you are standing. I'm saved. I've trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And because I am, I'm going to heaven someday, and I'm not gonna give that faith away, and I'm not gonna be moved away from that faith. Now listen to me. Perseverance. You say, well, you know what, if I had a life like Brother Wilkins or Brother Bobby or those guys, you know, I could stand and I could not be moved away from the faith like them. Do you understand, friend, the heartache these men have gone through? Brother James Wilkins, preached from that stool here on Monday night, has buried not one, but two wives. Two. Two. Not one, but two. Brother Don Green. Brother, let me go back to Brother Jack Thompson. Brother Jack Thompson, with eight kids, buried his wife. Two of them were mature. Six kids at home. In evangelism. And buried his wife. Don Green buried his wife. Two children, one just a week before he came here. 7 days previous, when he preached here, he had put his son Steve, who is his assistant pastor, in the grave. Bobby Robertson, at 29 years of age, suffered a heart attack and a nervous breakdown. And has had two bouts of cancer. Two. These men are not standing unmoved because they haven't had any pressure. They're not standing unmoved because they haven't had any heartache. They're not standing unmoved because they haven't had the hounds of hell nipping at their heels. They have not moved away from the place in which they're standing. I'm convinced because, like Paul taught, they remember they're going to stand before God someday. Folks, if you let the winds of adversity move you, do you know how far you can be moved? I have mowed my grass twice. The first time I mowed it in a gale. A gale. And there were sticks, you know, and stuff. And the girls picked up most of the sticks in the yard. But I was mowing the edges. And the wind was blowing like crazy. And I got off the mower, picked up a stick, and I threw it. And I wasn't thinking. I threw it into the wind. You know where it landed? At my feet. Well, that was dumb. So I picked it up and I threw it with the wind. And I went. I bet that limb, no joke, flew 20 to 30 feet in the air and landed way, way off. I'm going to tell you something. If you allow the winds of adversity to move you away from the fact, I am going to stand before God. And I don't care how much pressure I get right here in my stand. I don't care how much adversity. I don't care how hard the wind is blowing. If need be, I'm going to turn and face the wind. I'm not going to just let the wind blow me away because, friend, you don't know how far away you're going to go. Stand unmovable. And by the way, folks, there are people in this room this morning, not just these preachers, but there are people in this room this morning who have been saved for years and years and years, who are up in their years, late 70s and early 80s, and they have not moved from the faith. They're still standing square in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, realizing that because Christ died, He was buried. Because He was buried, He rose again. And because He rose again, I'm rising again because I'm saved. And one of these days, I'm going to see Jesus. I don't admit move. Y'all with me this morning? This is what Paul is saying to this carnal bunch. He's saying, look, all right, there's hope and there's expectation, there's promise. If you'll just go back to the gospel that you received, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and realize that because Christ rose, you're going to rise, and that's going to affect how you live here. If you'll live with the resurrection in mind, if you live in with the resurrection in mind, you won't cheat. You live with the resurrection in mind, you're not going to go around and live a double life. No, sir. Don't turn loose of that. And stand square in the middle of the fact that you know that you're going to heaven. You're going to see God someday. You're going to stand before Jesus. So he said, this is how you get the perseverance award. You stand steadfast. You stand unmovable. Now look what he said, third point, lastly. He said, always abounding. Now I want you to look at what this verse says. Does it say always abounding in the glorious results of the work of the Lord? Is that what it says? No. What does it say, folks? It says always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know what the work of the Lord is? Obeying His commands. Obeying Him, serving Him, loving Him, doing right, walking in His light. Not abounding in results, but abounding in obedience. And if I will abound in obedience, I will receive a reward. You know what? The results are going to come. Paul said it this way at the beginning of this book. He said, I planted and Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? God. Now you abound in obedience. You just abound. You just do what you're told over and over and over and over. The results are going to come and the results are going to go. But if you will abound in obedience, if you'll be obedience-oriented instead of results-oriented, there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a crown. There's going to be recognition. It may not be called the Perseverance Award, but you will be rewarded with the crown of faithfulness. Steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in your obedience and service to Him. Now, you say, how do I abound in obedience to Christ? Well, you just take the next step. If you got saved, the way to do that next is to get baptized. And after you get baptized, join the church. And after you join the church, you got baptized, join the church, you start reading the Bible. Take you a passage of the Bible. You don't have to read over there in the prophets and all those historical books. Get you a book in the New Testament. Start reading 10 verses a day, 15 verses a day. And then close your Bible and say, Dear God, thank you for your word. And please help me to live it today and help me to learn from it. And please, Lord, save my wife or save my husband or save my parents or save my daughter, save my son. Help me to live for you at work today. And you say a little prayer to the Lord and talk to the Lord in fellowship and communion, and you come to church and you begin to witness and you get cleaned up in your behavior. And you know what you don't do? You don't stop. God is going to confront each one of us with different aspects of the Christian life, different steps of the Christian life. God is going to come and confront us, whether it's whether it's baptism, whether it's tithing, whether it's separation. I want to tell you something, friend. When you come to the place and you say, no. No. You stopped. You stopped. You stopped. And I will tell you, for 23 years of being at the same church and watching when people stop in an area where they're confronted with truth and they reject it and say no, you see it on the face. Until that time, it's just, man, God's good. Oops, I'm supposed to do what? No, I'm not doing that. You abound in obedience. That's where you abound. There's no secret formula. There's no magical potion. There's no foofy dust going to fall out of heaven that's going to just make you so mature and vibrant the Christian life. It's obedience, 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 obedience. Lord, I don't understand. And that's the problem with most folks. When you go back to 1st, 2nd Peter chapter 1, and you see where he said, add to your faith virtue, cleanliness. And then the next word is knowledge. Lord, I don't understand why I should stop drinking, so I'm going to keep drinking. I don't understand why I should dress like a Christian. I don't understand why I should tithe. I'm sorry, but he didn't put understanding first. He put virtue first. So I've been saved, now I add to my life virtue. I clean myself up. Not only clean myself up, I let the Spirit of God clean me up. Start doing this, not doing that. Well, it was a blessing this morning to hear a man testify that since he's been saved, he doesn't enjoy doing the things that he used to do. And God says, you don't do that anymore. You don't act like that anymore. You don't say that anymore. You clean up. And then you know what happens? After you clean up, you look back and go, oh, now I see. I understand that. Now I know why I shouldn't drink. Now I know why I shouldn't dress like the world. Now I know why I shouldn't rob God. You want it all spelled out for you first. God said, I'm not going to spell it out for you until you take the step. Y'all with me this morning? That's what he said. That's what he said in 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith virtue. Terry Angel got saved October 15th, 1975. And they said, get baptized. Okay. Join the church. Okay. Read your Bible. Okay. Pray. Okay. Witness. Okay. Give 10% of your income. Okay. Get this out of your life. Okay. Get that out of your life. Okay. Get your hair cut. Okay. Do this. Okay. 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 And you know what? I didn't understand it all. And you know what? God doesn't owe me an explanation. God doesn't owe you an explanation. But He's kind enough after we act in obedience to say, okay, now let me tell you why I want you to do that. That's what I hear all the time. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. You practice it long enough, you'll understand. You'll understand. You'll see it clear as the bell. Folks, I'm talking about Paul took this chapter on the resurrection. The resurrection. He said, boys, hey, this is not it. This life is not it. You're going up there. You're going to stand up before God. You're going to live up there forever. And what you enjoy up there in some respects is based on what you do down here. And you've got a short window of time to do it. Short window. So, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not giving up this thing of the resurrection. I'm not giving that up at all because that helps keep me in line. And I'm not going to move away from this, no matter what the pressures of life are. No matter if my relatives don't like it. No matter if I get made fun of at work. No matter if God takes a loved one. I'm not moving from the fact that I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to abound in obedience. I'm going to be obedience-oriented. I'm going to obey God. You know why? Canaan land is just in sight. Moses said, keep going. And that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Canaan land is just, I'll close with the illustration. Some of you have heard, it's an old story. I can't remember the man's name. He served as a missionary over in a foreign field for years and years and years and years. And he didn't really have a huge ministry. He got some people saved and had some folks won to Christ and matured up as believers. And you know, he had a good, effective ministry. And he's coming home. Time to come home. And he's on the steamer coming across the Atlantic Ocean, wondering to himself, will anybody be at the port to meet me? Will anybody be at the dock to meet me? Pulled in, there was balloons, there was a band playing, horns blowing, hundreds of people cheering, waving their hats, men waving, this has actually happened, men waving their hats, yay, at the port there in New York City. He thought, look at this. And then he found out that on the same steamer was President Teddy Roosevelt. And he had been in Africa on a safari. This missionary had been in Africa for years trying to win folks to Christ. And Teddy Roosevelt had been over there killing animals. And they escorted Teddy Roosevelt down the gangplank. And the band played and the crowd cheered and waved their hats. And he shook hands with all the dignitaries and off they went. And by the time the missionary walked off the boat, everybody was gone. He walked a little distance, just kind of feeling sorry for himself. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to his heart and said, son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. You want to go through that gate with the crowd singing and the band playing, people waving their hats, saying, well done. You stay steadfast. You stay unmovable. And you abound in obedience to Christ, regardless of the results. And you'll win the crown. You'll win. And that's exactly what he wrote to these people. I'm going to tell you what would change some of your lives. A couple things would change some of your lives if you would just trust God and be obedient to Him without an explanation. And then your eyes would be opened and you'd understand. And if you would just keep in mind, this life is not all there is. That life, I want to be ready for. Amen. Yes, sir. And you know what that'll do, friend? That'll grow you up as a Christian. That'll help you mature and become a vibrant Christian and earning the perseverance award. It may not be called that in heaven, but there is a crown for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for your word. And I pray this morning, God, that you'd please help it to drive deep down into our hearts and help us to see, God, the importance of what we talked about in this message. God, speak to our hearts today. Help people, Lord, to receive it as good seed, and may it bring forth fruit in their lives. Mine too. God, help me. I want to gain. I want to win that crown, that faithfulness crown, that perseverance award. Hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.